If there was any doubt where Doug Routley's campaign office in Ladysmith was...
Hello!
That doubt would be immediately erased when you saw the giant sign outside this Ladysmith house.
That's quite the sign!
Yeah. Oh yeah, big billboard, all right.
I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say it's enormous. The letters NDP are about a third the size of the entire house. A house which has a somewhat aggressive sign on the front door, telling visitors, in no uncertain terms, that this door is not for that NDP stuff. Do not knock. Go to the backyard. Doug Routley and his campaign manager meet me there. He's the incumbent MLA in Nanaimo, North Cowichan. While he started his career in the forest industry as a logger and sawmill worker, he spent a lot of time in his life in education, a profession he comes by honestly.
My mom was a teacher. My stepmom was a teacher, now retired. My dad was a school administrator. My dad came from a labor family in Port Coquitlam, a railroad family. My mom came from a very religious family in Saanich, a Seventh-day Adventist upbringing. I left that as a very young woman and married my dad and began her life.
Do you know how they met?
I don't actually know. Okay. I don't know how they met.
You've never
asked
them?
They're both gone now. No, I never did ask
them.
Really? No, it's one of my great failings. I was born in New Westminster, but grew up on the island. We moved here when I was 3. I have 2 sisters, 1 2.5 years older and 1 5 years younger. Type of kid. You know, I was really pretty sensitive to things, you know, and I don't know why I'm in politics because my feelings get hurt pretty easily, you know. But I love sports and I love hockey. Then few years after that, in the teenage years, I'd rather not report the kind of kid I was.
And that's the way it was for most of Doug's adolescence, playing sports, being a bit of a punk, his words. And then, when he was 18, crashed his car. He broke his jaw, his pelvis.
It really changed my ability to do what I usually did at that time. I've regained everything and I've stayed engaged in sports, but it really did change my life and change the trajectory of my life, because soon after that, me and my girlfriend at the time decided to sell everything we had and move to Japan, where I taught English for a year, and that was fascinating. And I absolutely love Japan. My youngest student was 3. And I taught a lot of kindergarten students as well as business people. I had a class of housewives. I had one individual student who was in his 80s. He had a huge effect on me. He had experienced the Hiroshima disaster. His family were in Hiroshima. He was out of the city and saw the blast, lost his family. I would go with lesson plans at the beginning, you know, and he would basically say, put that down, and, you know, he wanted to just converse. And he was fascinated with idioms. One of the ones he really liked was up in the air. It's up in the air. He asked me once, being in a hotel operator, what do I say, Mr. Douglas, if one of my guests asks me a question for which I have no answer? So I told him that, well, you could tell them that it's up in the air. To me, it means that the answer is yet to come down to me, filter down to me from wherever it might come in. So, we left and we went out through his lobby, him with his cane. He said, just wait. He went up to 2 Americans who were checking in, or 2 Westerners checking in. He said, I am Mr. Inoue. Allow me to introduce myself. I am up in the air in your service. So, of course, I just gave him the thumbs up and left. That was a major achievement.
After teaching, Doug stayed in Japan for a bit, did some cycling around the country, and ended up meeting a guy who built bicycle frames. This fellow agreed to give Doug the rights to sell those frames in Canada, and shipped him a bunch to get started. No charge, just a promise to pay him back when they sold. An act of generosity, Doug says, helped him start a bike business on the mainland when he returned to BC in 1985.
I guess when I sold interest in that business and moved back to the island, was another big change, and took work with the school district as a custodian because my kids needed benefits Yeah, you know, so it was a union job, and it provided dental care and that sort of thing. And by then, I was married and had a couple of kids. So, you know, it was important to have that security. When the previous government was elected, I was concerned about privatization, so I became involved with the union. Then from that union position, became a school trustee after that. Having a commitment to education, feeling like my family have benefited from education so much, being educators, my grandmother, my mom, my sister, they're all teachers. It really was a nice way to see things from a number of different perspectives.
In 2005, Doug was elected MLA for Nanaimo North Cowichan. 4 years later, and no longer married to his first wife, he's working in his constituency office, and in walks Leanne Finlayson.
She came to my office to talk to me about safety for loggers, logging truck drivers in particular, and she was a pretty impressive person, you know. She worked for me for a while, and then we had the workplace romance and wound up together.
And do you remember your first date?
We went to an inquest together, actually. Yeah. But it was just...
Was it at all romantic?
Well, it was because it wasn't anticipated to be, but it was because when we left, we promised to go for a hike together, and that was the beginning of our friendship. And so once we were involved, she decided not to be working for me anymore and left the office and went to work for Western Forest Products.
Doug has held the MLA position since his first election 15 years ago.
Most poignant thing I've learned is that when things happen to people that hurt them or they lose something, quite often it's something they can never repair. They lose a person or they lose a profession or a business. People will then engage their lives in trying to advocate for change in whatever situation it was that impacted their lives. And it's usually too late to benefit themselves. And one of the most common things I hear is, I don't want this to ever happen to anyone else. And I think that's the kind of most noble way that change happens. The resilience of people is something that is an awe to behold. When people are in the deepest challenges of their lives, they seem to find the strongest fiber. It's really impressive. I don't know if I could be as courageous as a lot of the people who I've worked with over the years. My dad died of ALS when he was in his late 50s. And fortunately, he and my stepmom traveled extensively for more than a decade before he died. But had he waited until his retirement, he would never have experienced all those things. It's given me like this appreciation that you have to get things done.
And part of that, Doug says, is being true to who he is.
I've been open with people that I'm bisexual and that, you know, I live in a relationship that's a little bit different from most. And so that's been a major shift in my life over the last 5 or 6 years. My partner, I've always been open with her, but I haven't been open publicly and certainly not politically. But I feel like an obligation to, you know, people will say have pride and be open about who you are, accept others, all of those things. And yet I wasn't really being terribly open. Like, I'm not a super outgoing person, so politics scares me, that public exposure part of it. It's definitely not that big a deal. And I think we live in a time when, by and large, most people have come to a real acceptance that people love differently.
So you're the incumbent candidate in your riding. Mm-hmm. What happens if you lose?
No. Yeah, it would involve lots of model trains.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I love model railways. My dad's family in Port Coquitlam were a railroading family. My grandpa was employed by the CPR for most of his working career, and he started me out with model trains by giving me, you know, birthday presents, Christmas present, always a little piece of a model. If you were operating a railway and you looked at your a passenger train, and you wanted that passenger train to run most efficiently, most effectively, you would not pour everything you have into the posh parlor car. you would look for the car that has the squeakiest, rustiest wheels. You would look for the car that is holding the rest of the train back, and you do what you can to repair that. Yeah, I think that does inform my view a bit. People who struggle are all citizens, and just like that, you know, train that probably calls for more attention than the posh car. Deep in tradition of the Great Depression, hobo fuel bots carbon. My name sings all the big and small towns on the tracks owned by the light of the silvery moon.
Doug Routley is the BC NDP candidate for Nanaimo, North Cowichan. Music in this episode composed by Darius Holbert and Guy Jones. Music licensing by Source Audio. Fact-checking and production assistance by Sarah Guild. All interviews for this series were conducted outdoors with 6-foot-long sanitized microphone cables. This podcast series is produced by Nanaimo's Engage Q Digital. I'm Todd Maffin.